Have you ever wondered why the shake weight, that idiotic looking exercise device that is advertised over and over again on late night TV, has sold $50 million worth of products? Did you know that years ago when Budweiser did that "What's Up" campaign, it was way more successful than Geico's Caveman campaign? Do you know why? My next guest does. His name is Jonah Berger. He's professor of marketing at Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania and has a terrific new book called Contagious: Why Things Catch On. Jonah, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why was Budweiser more successful with "What's Up" than Geico with the Caveman?
It's funny. We can all remember that "What's Up" ad, and we didn't necessarily like it when it came out. Some people found it very annoying. But think about how frequently we thought about it. It was almost like it was on the mind all the time. Every time one of our friends says "What's Up," we couldn't help but thinking about that Budweiser ad, and that's part of the reason it was so successful. It was frequently triggered by the environment. Even though we didn't like it necessarily, we were more likely to think about it because so many people were saying "What's Up" at the time.
And nobody is a caveman or knows a caveman.
Exactly. I mean, the same phenomena actually drove Rebecca Black's song to catch on. So do you remember her song, Friday?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, I do.
And everyone said they hate that song, right? Some have called it the worst song ever, yet it had 300 million views. Why did Rebecca Black do so well if everyone hated it? Well, if you look at the data, you actually see something interesting. There's a spike in attention, and then it goes back down, and another spike, and then it goes back down, and then another spike. And if you look more closely, you see that the spikes are every 7 days. Every 7 days, there's a boost in searches for Rebecca Black online. And you look more closely, you actually see that it's Friday. And so while that song is equally bad every day of the week, bad on Monday, bad on Tuesday, bad on Wednesday, and so on,
yeah.
Friday provides a reminder in the environment, a trigger to make us think about it.
And triggers are a key to making something go contagious?
Definitely. They're a big key. It's not just things being exciting or surprising. It's us remembering to think about them. We even did some research a few years ago where we found that where people voted affect how they voted. So merely voting in a church, for example, or a school or another type of polling location might change how you vote because it changes what comes to mind.
How much is the social media responsible for this? I mean, obviously, we know that things go contagious, become viral online, thanks to YouTube, et cetera. But how much is the fact that Americans, and not just Americans, but humans, are sharing more now than ever before? How much is that a part of it?
You might think that word of mouth is all about social media. And indeed, it's interesting to think why things go viral on social media, but it's not only about social media. Actually, if you look at the data, you'll see that only about 7% of word of mouth, of consumer conversations, is online. Most word of mouth and most of our conversations are offline. Maybe you don't notice it, but think about how much we talk to our family members at breakfast or our colleagues at work during lunch, or you know, we have dinner or drinks after work with our friends. We're constantly talking to one another face-to-face, and social media is definitely a part of those conversations, a part of what we talk about, but most of our conversations are face-to-face. Word of mouth and conversation didn't start with the internet. It started thousands of years ago when we were communicating back and forth.
All right. Now, I've got to ask you to tell my audience about a story that you have here in the book that fascinated me about the $100 cheesesteak.
So if you've ever been to Philadelphia, you know that cheesesteaks are big in Philly. But there was a new restaurant that was starting out here that was trying to figure out how to cut through the clutter. There are so many restaurants, so many high-end steakhouses, which they were. How do they get some attention? So they came out with a product that was on their menu called the $100 cheesesteak. And you might wonder, $100 is a crazy price for a cheesesteak. Who would pay that much?
Yeah.
But it's made of Kobe beef and lobster and truffles and Taleggio cheese, and it's a very decadent cheesesteak. It even comes with a little bottle of champagne. But at the end of the day, not only is it a decadent item, it got people talking. Most people will never order a $100 cheesesteak. Most people even go to the restaurant won't order it, but they will talk about it.
Mm.
It's remarkable. Who would have thought a cheesesteak could be so expensive? And also think about it. When you're in Philly, you think cheesesteak. And if you think cheesesteak, it reminds you of that story of the $100 cheesesteak. And so triggers also played a big role here.
And now I've got to put you on the spot here because you're in Philadelphia. Jim's or Pat's?
You know, I actually had a great cheesesteak yesterday from neither of them. It was from a roast pork place that was delicious. So I might have to go with Jim's roast pork.
All right. This is Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. I'm talking with Jonah Berger, a professor at the Wharton School of Business, who has a wonderful new book called Contagious, Why Things Catch On. Now, here's the thing we all know about corporate America is they want their stuff to catch on big time. There are probably meetings every day where they say, we have to create something viral. Is there a way to actually create something viral, or is that something that just occurs by happenstance?
You might have thought that viral was just luck, totally chance, unpredictable. Maybe it's even magic. But actually, we spent a decade looking at this, and we found that there's a science behind it. It's not luck, it's not random, and it's not chance. Again and again, if you look at successes, there are principles. We looked at over 6,000 New York Times articles to understand which ones make the most emailed list. We looked at thousands of brands and hundreds of YouTube videos, and we found that again and again, there were certain key characteristics that drive things to catch on. Triggers, for example, as we've been discussing. Emotion also plays a big role. There are four others, but we found that it's not random. It's not chance. There's some predictability behind what gets shared.
So do companies then use information like what you've dug up here and said, okay, this is how we're going to do it?
I don't think that all companies have figured this out yet. I think many companies are trying to figure out how to use social media. I think it's just interesting as consumers also to understand why we share certain things. You might have always wondered, you know, well, why am I sharing this particular story? Or why are so many people telling me about this rumor? What about this story or this rumor, this piece of information made people likely to talk about it or share it? And so I don't think corporate America has figured this out yet, but I do think it's interesting for us as individuals to understand why we behave the way we do.
Another story that you have in the book is about a website that I found years ago and I have shared with people either on my own site or just by telling them about it. The website is called Will It Blend, which is essentially, and I don't even know what the brand of blender is, which I guess tells you that it's not working to impress a brand name on my brain, but it essentially is a blender that can blend anything. And they put, you know, if you have an iPhone, they'll put it in there. Anything you can think of, they put in this blender and they make a video of it. And these videos then become viral. But since I can't even remember the brand, how effective is it for these people? At a certain point, do they not see that sales are going up, or am I wrong and sales have gone up?
So for BlendTech, you're right. Not everyone is in the market for a high-end blender. It is a special blender. It's a very unique blender. It's a blender that can cut through an iPhone. If you've ever watched one of those videos, they can turn an iPhone into shreds, into shards of glass and dust.
Yeah, but how many of us are looking for that? I mean, I've been frustrated when I lose my signal, but I'm blaming AT&T, not the iPhone.
Yeah, and actually sales went up 700%.
700%?
Yes. But think about it, right? Hundreds of millions of people have shared these BlendTech videos. And so it's not just a couple people here and there. It's a lot of people sharing this content. And some of your audience may be entrepreneurs saying, well, hold on, right? It would be great if my sales went up 700%, but how am I going to get hundreds of millions of views? You don't need to get everybody to share your content. You don't need to get everyone to talk about your product, your idea, or your service. The key is to turn customers into advocates, to get people that already like your product or brand. If you're doing something well, if you got a corner coffee shop, if you're an accountant, you have a sporting goods store, there's some set of people that already like your product. So it's about getting them to tell just one more person.
Is the contagious
people talk and share.
Is getting something to become contagious more valuable than, you know, search engine optimizers that will get you a higher rating on Google?
Oh, certainly. I mean, so research finds that word of mouth is more than 10 times as effective as traditional advertising. We trust it more. Think about if you see an ad on Google, you say, okay, well, they're trying to sell me something, but if my friend tells me about that thing, I'm definitely going to believe my friend. And
yeah.
So advertising, we just don't believe it, and it's not as targeted. Word of mouth, we trust word of mouth. We trust our friends, and so we're more likely to act on what they say.
So mentions on somebody's Facebook page might be even better than an ad on Facebook.
Oh, definitely. I mean, a true recommendation from a friend that you know, you're much more likely to listen to that, even than someone who's quote-unquote influential. We all love to talk about celebrities, but people don't listen to celebrities as much as they listen to their friends.
Fascinating stuff. Jonah Berger, the book is called Contagious, Why Things Catch On. It's a great read, and I think you're going to get a lot of business people reading this going, okay, now we're going to learn the secret to going viral.
That's the hope. The secret's there. They just got to find out about it.
Thanks so much for joining me. I hope the book goes viral, Contagious, Why Things Catch On. By the way, we are on Facebook at America Weekend. You can friend us there, like us, do whatever you want. You can also tweet to us on Twitter. Yes, we've got all the social media covered, at America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. I'm Paul Harris, and I'll be right back with Knuckleheads in the News.